Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have gathered to worship Jesus. Through him, every single one of the blessings from God are ours. Just one of those is the goodness and faithfulness of God upon our graduates and their families. Now, all of them, those finishing kindergarten or fifth grade or eighth or high school or even grad school, they started off as young kids playing in the sandbox at the park. If you want to see how egocentric mankind is, watch children play in the sandbox at the park. It is all about them. All the toys are theirs. They are to have a good time. And if anything is wrong, and if anyone takes their toy, crankiness and crying will continue. Spiritually, we do the same, don't we? We gather as a church, selflessly loving each other is not high on our priority list. It's about me. And if anyone sins against me, watch out. How many of you have hardness of heart towards others this morning? How quick are we to remember the past sins of others and keep record of wrong? How casual are we in regards to gossip? Or let's think about something that infects all high school seniors each year. It's called senioritis. Some of them start this illness in their freshman year. Senioritis is what students face at the closing end of their high school experience. There's this laziness that comes over them, this carelessness about school or teachers or grades. It's not important anymore. They're going to finish anyway. They got accepted in the next school anyway. They are older anyway. They start to drive anyway. And so they become more and more lazy, but we do the same spiritually, don't we? We too have days of laziness and a carelessness towards God. Our hearts are lukewarm. Our emotions are flat. And our seeking of God has completely deflated. Will you admit that you are really miserable this morning in regards to that? C.S. Lewis once said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." How quick are we to find enjoyment in trivial things? How stuffed are we with the things of this world, and we have no room in our hearts for the things of God? Will you admit this morning that joy in the Lord and love for others is not going very well for you? Can you see that you are in great need of more genuine worship and fellowship? I want to start by cautioning you about of a lie from the evil one. This is what he is offering you to believe. You will not change. And things will not get better. Your heart for God and heart for others is seriously lacking. Just give up. You will not change. And I'm here to tell you this morning, do not give in to those lies. For by the power of God, through Jesus Christ, yes and yes, joyful worship and humble fellowship is possible and only possible by the filling of the Spirit. Yes, there can be more joy and more love as we gather when we have more of the Spirit in us or when the Spirit has more of us. We are called to be filled, and only then will we be fruitful. Today's passage consists of 7 verses, but the sermon primarily comes from 5 words. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled, and what does it look like to be fruitful? What is the meaning of this filling, and what is the manifestation of this filling? And so if you did not open up already, please open to Ephesians 5. Follow along, see this for yourself, and check if what I'm saying is biblical. And if you do not have a Bible, see me afterwards, I will give you one. Let me just read the beginning. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Christian life is a walk. You cannot stop, and you cannot sit or casually wander. No longer walking in death under the power of darkness with darkened understanding and futility of mind, we are instead to walk as Christ, to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, to walk as Christ does, to walk as children of light. We are called to walk wisely. And so enough with spiritual laziness and casual coasting and thoughtless living. More than any class or work or hobby or issue in our lives, we ought to be more careful and intentional about our walk before the Lord. You cannot go to Long Beach, sit in a boat without a motor, and hope that you drift to Sydney, Australia. Right? That's not good. Drifting will not get you across. And I assure you, you will not wake up a year from now having found yourself drifted towards godliness or effortlessly grown in your love for God. Be serious more than anything else in your life. Paul continues, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. The river of this world is violently and ferociously flowing downstream in evil, further and further away from God. And you know that already. I don't need to explain how the days are evil. And so be careful with your time. Be careful with each new day. Be careful with the start of each new week. Be careful with the start of each new season in your life. Do not settle for, oh, where has the time gone? And do not foolishly say, oh, I just don't have time right now. Redeem the time. Life is short and the days are evil. In the early 18th century, Jonathan Edwards wrote out 70 resolutions for him to be serious in godliness. He wrote one about time. This is what he said. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. I wonder what Edwards would say in regards to our use of social media and Netflix. Consider this today as you plan for the coming week. What will you do with your time and your lunch breaks and your evenings and your weekends? Do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord. What is more important today than that? God's will. Listen, God's will is not confusing. God's will is not mysterious. It's clearly revealed in Scripture. His charge and desire for you is found in verse 18, among other passages. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. If you ignore this, you will walk carelessly and foolishly into evil days against and away from the will of God. And do you see the risks involved in that? But this right here, this is our daily calling. This is what heals and grows our heart for God and others. This is what will strengthen you in joy and in love. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Be consumed with His presence and power. Surrender to His leading in all areas of life. Live in Him and by Him and for Him. Be filled in the Spirit. Eagerly seek to have more of Him in your life. As one author said, it may well be true of many of us that though we have all of the Spirit does not have all of us. Does He have all of you? Is He ruling over your life? Be filled with the Spirit. Just those five words. Number one, we see here that this is a command. This is not a suggestion or polite advice from King Jesus. This is an authoritative word from the master of your life to go and to be filled with the Spirit. Look carefully. Redeem the time. Understand His will. Obey this command. Do you see how much effort is required in the Christian life? So if someone says to you, let go and let God, that cannot be further from the truth. be filled with all your mind. Know that he is alive. Know that if you are in Christ, the Spirit is living in you as your helper, as your counselor, to teach you, to train you always. Be filled begins with knowing this truth, resting in this truth, knowing that he is in you. Start each day reminding yourself of that. If you are in Christ, start each day. And as you prepare to get ready for the day, prepare your heart for the day, remind yourself that the Spirit is living in me. And that changes everything. Seek him. John in 7, Jesus says that the person who is filled with the Spirit is like someone who is overflowing with living waters in them. That person, it says, drinks of the living waters of Christ. And so if we are going to be filled, then the command to you is drink much of what Christ is offering. Acknowledge your thirst, that we are spiritually dry and dehydrated, and we need these living waters that only Christ can provide. Will you confess that? Do you want this? Do you want more of the Spirit's life and power and control over your life? Do you long to experience more of his joy and his love? And also, obey. As you know these truths and as you seek him, you walk in obedience. If you want to be filled, we go and we obey. Because in Colossians 3, in the parallel passage to Ephesians 5, while this passage says, be filled in the Spirit, Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Scripture is the same filling. For the sake of your soul, do away with distractions that are wasteful and be disciplined to read and study and receive the teachings of Scripture. For there is no other way around this. Do not be surprised if you are swept with the current of this evil world if we are not anchored in the Word again and again. I'll say that again. If we are not anchored, we'll be swept away. Because the days are evil. Beloved, the evil one wants to devour you like a lion. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You clothe yourselves with this armor, which is Christ. His righteousness, his truth, his peace, his salvation. But you go forward and you attack with the sword. It is the Spirit's sword. And what is the Spirit's sword? It is the Word of God. That is what we use to move forward in battle. So, how important do you think it must be to have the words of Christ dwell in you richly? How can you possibly survive any form of spiritual warfare if we take Scripture lightly? Are we going to put away the excuses we have had over and over? As you are in the Word, listen to the guidance and prompting of the Spirit. Pay attention to Him, for you are sealed with Him until the day of redemption. Do not grieve Him. Do not ignore Him. Do not quench the fire of the Spirit. As He convicts, be quick to confess. And as He reminds you, be quick to obey. Let us not grieve Him. Let us confess. Maybe that is what we need this morning. Maybe more than anything, this morning, we need to be a church that confesses our sins quickly when the Spirit convicts us of our wrongdoing and we open our hearts in surrender. So stop being unwise. Stop walking in foolishness. Be careful. The days are evil. Know His will. Be filled and obey. This is a command and it's meant to be obeyed continually. Not once, but again and again. A few weeks ago, I preached on Pentecost Sunday from Acts 2, where we saw the baptism of the Spirit, which meant that it's the dawning of the new day of salvation. It's the indwelling of the believers to create the church. It's an outward movement of global missions. It's an empowering for evangelism. And this baptism took place at the beginning of this story of salvation, of this church. But on the personal level, when someone accepts Christ, what happens? Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him." So if you become a Christian, it means you are hearing and believing the gospel. And then what? You are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Spirit comes upon you, upon the person promising the fullness of life that is to come. Now, for the person to experience what we read in verse chapter 5, they must first experience what we read in chapter 1. It is the person who is sealed with the Spirit already, who then continues to be filled with the Spirit more and more. The person sealed will avoid foolishness, will redeem the time, will walk in wisdom, will know the will of God, and will have the fullness of the Spirit to have healthy relationships in church and marriage and family. The sealing makes the filling possible. We were sealed once when we became a Christian, but we're called to be filled over and over and over again. Believe again, repent again, obey and seek and surrender for more of his control to be in your life. We need to be filled with the Spirit over and over because we are not filled again and again. We drift, we waver, we grieve, we forget. Do you see that there is this deep and real need for an ongoing filling of the Spirit in our lives? Graduates, to be filled with the Spirit is not like getting your degree. You study, you finish, you graduate, you get the diploma, you hang it in your office. That is not like the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is like the person who after the diploma goes back to speak to professors, to attend seminars, to continue his studies, to get another degree after that. There is this ongoing movement and growth that happens to graduates and to the person who is filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's an ongoing command. But also, if we're going to look at it more closely, it's passive. It's not something that you need to go do and cross it off your list. It is something, in a sense, that is done to you and in you as you surrender. Let me explain how the filling is passive or it's done to you. Let me point out to you what Paul says about being drunk. Verse 18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." In other words, it ruins your life. And college graduates, they know this. College students, after many sleepless nights and stressful seasons, you finish your degree and maybe you know of friends or classmates who went to party after they graduated and they were drunk. Maybe you saw that, maybe you heard that, or maybe you fell into that as well. Such a person who is drunk is not tasting and sipping, but they are filled with alcohol. And what happens? They are thoughtless, lacking in judgment. Unwise decisions, they are out of control. But when we are filled with the Spirit, we don't lose control, we gain control. Because self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So our minds and our hearts are under His control. While drink is a depressant, so your thinking and speaking and behaving goes downhill and slows down, being filled with the Spirit is more of a stimulant. It makes you sober-minded, the Apostle Peter says. It doesn't lead to a dull and miserable life. By the way, it is wrong for us to think that the Christian life is dull and miserable. It is not. We are called to be sober-minded. That causes us to be mentally alert, joyful in heart, productive in life, in a way that this world knows nothing of. While drink leads to wastefulness of time, of purity, of relationship, and it leaves you exhausted and empty, the filling of the Spirit is gain, not waste. Gain, and only gain. Proverbs 23:29. This is how he describes the person who is drunk. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eye? He's talking about the person who is drunk. And in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. But what about the end, when you are filled with the Spirit? You grow in godliness and you become conformed to the image of Christ. And that's the point. It is all about that. That is my prayer and aim in preaching this sermon. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's why I'm preaching this. That Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith. Be filled with the Spirit. So literally, he says, all of you together are commanded to again and again surrender to the control of the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. So this is the plural tense. It's happening to all of you. All of you are commanded to be filled. We never do this alone. For we are being built to a dwelling place where God is by his Spirit. Now let me give you a strong warning, especially to the graduates. Do not assume that because you graduated from school, you can graduate from church. If you think about skipping the idea of a Christian community altogether, you are treading on thin ice. If you are thinking you can do this on your own, away from people, if you say, I love Jesus, I just don't like people, you will easily belittle the gospel, buy into false teaching, skip repentance, ignore scripture, lack in love, idolize your comfort, and that is a form of Christianity the scripture knows nothing of. For it is in church where we have preaching and ministry, communion and discipline, shepherding and compassion, singing and accountability. So I assure you that spiritually flourishing will not take place to the person that avoids all this. I'm stressing this because I grieve each June when I see graduates finish school and just drift away from church. This is for them. And this is for the rest of us. We see community in verse 19 to 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The command in verse 18, be filled in the Spirit, is followed by four types of behavior. They are the fruit of the filling. And you see that in our worship and fellowship. The first is this, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So as we are filled in the Spirit, what happens is that we start addressing one another with song. So as we gather for corporate worship, let us sing with our whole hearts before the Lord. He is the primary audience of our singing, but also there is a horizontal element to our worship. There is a mutual edification that takes place when we gather to sing. Where am I getting this from? The parallel passage of Colossians 3. There, it doesn't talk about singing. What does he say? He says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing in hymns and songs and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. So while Ephesians says, addressing one another, Colossians says, teaching and admonishing one another. There's teaching happening when we sing. I wonder how many of you come on Sunday mornings and your spiritual tank is empty. How many of you come depressed, struggling to believe in the goodness of God, confused about whether you are worthy enough to be called a Christian, maybe weighed down with guilt and stress? I wonder if you are aware of what happens when you who are healthy sing and sing loud and with joy and conviction. The first person who is almost unable to sing, he listens, she listens. Listens to children and grandparents and college students and young parents sing and declare the greatness of God. Let me tell you, you don't know ministry of mercy that takes place in these gatherings when the gospel truths are sung and the brokenhearted receive grace in truth. Are you with me? Are you aware of how we grieve the Spirit when we consistently come late and we skip the singing because we assume it's not important? Are you aware of how we grieve the Spirit when we skip the singing because we don't like that song or that style of worship? No, this is not about you. It's about God, but also there are people who need to be edified and encouraged with your singing. Second, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. The previous one was to one another, this is to the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit floods your heart with joy. It is the fruit of his life in you. While drink brings a fleeting excitement, this joy, being filled with the Spirit, brings joy for years to come. While drink is so that you escape problems, being filled with the Spirit strengthens you to rejoice in the midst of your problems and pain. This feeling brings regrets and a hangover. This feeling brings intoxicating joy over the incomparable grace of God. That God would graciously, lovingly raise the dead, forgive them, declare them righteous, redeem them with the blood of his Son, adopt them into his family, give them victory over sin, promise them fullness of salvation that is coming, that cannot not lead us to joy. This news makes us want to laugh in amazement at how good God is. Listen, in Christ, God is for you. Sing and make melody in your hearts before the Lord. Let me give you this other example. I just came to mind. Imagine a young child at home who starts crying, turns to mom and dad and says, I'm sad that I'm going to leave one day. I'm going to move out and get married and I won't live with you anymore. And imagine the child says, don't forget me. Right? Maybe they're just being emotional that day. Don't forget me when I move out. What do you think the mom and dad are going to say? How will we forget you? How will we ever forget you? And doesn't God the Father say the same? God, don't forget me when I'm getting old or when I'm suffering or when life has fallen apart. And his response is as if, how can I forget you? I'm your Father. We have joy in the Lord because of that good news. Third, giving thanks to him always for everything, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In light of all these spiritual blessings in Christ, we give thanks to God always for everything. Be all the more sober-minded and alert to the continuous goodness of God in your lives in Christ. Give thanks for all things, great and small. As you might be ending a crucial season in your life, look back at the goodness of God. God's grace floods upon you, flows over you, sits like a reservoir behind you. You look back at that grace and you give thanks. And more as you give thanks, you'll overflow with joy. Thanksgiving is a key mark of the Christian life. It is seriously dishonoring the giver of all good gifts when we grumble again and again. Finally, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Joyful and grateful worship, edifying and submissive fellowship. This is what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. Oh, what surgery we need the Spirit to do in our selfish hearts. We are quick to find faults in others and terribly slow to confess our own sins. We remember the sins of others, though confessed and repented from, and we hold their weaknesses against them. And instead of disciplining or confronting or helping, we turn around and we gossip because that's easier. What does the Bible say? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Such submitting is not possible without the gospel. It is at the foot of the cross that the ground is level and we are all sinners, loved, saved, graced, and there's no room for harsh, judgmental attitudes or resistance to correction. Let us be honest and open with each other. For our identity is not found in how we feel or what others say of us. It is found in the finished work of Christ. And as we are filled with the Spirit, we'll be fruitful in love. As we are filled with the Spirit with each other, there will be joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The filling makes the fruit of submission possible and desirable. So let us make a strong effort to walk in this way. Let us be wise, redeem the time, understand the will, and obey. Let us come with open hands and open hearts. Let us come with broken spirit, confess our sins, and turn from them. Let us be selfless and humble. Let us again and again be filled with the Spirit, for then we will have a joy and love like never before. Ampopem haidernom mikani vargyanin. Թունգրեսնեստե ուրախության բակասություն մը գա քու կյանքիդ մեջ եւ սերմը ուրիշներուն հանդեպ։ Մեր բաշխամունքը եւ մեր հաղորդակցությունը դգար այսօր, քանի որ բեց կունինք իրեն, չընդունենք սատանային չարությունը եւ այդ չար խոսքերը, որ գսե, որ Թունգրի չի փոխվի, ոչ, Հիսուսով այո գրնանք փոխվի։ Եվ գտեսնենք այս համարդանը մեջ, որ պետք է քալենք իր մեջ, պետք է հնազանդինք, ձուլության դեղ չի գա։ Մեկ տարի են սխալմամբ ավելի զորավոր հավատացյալ պիտի չլաս։ Չանք պետք ունինք, պետք է աշխատինք մեր քրիստոնյա կյանքին մեջ, լրջությամբ, քանի որ ժամանակը սուղ է և մեր օրերը չար են, պետք է լեցվինք Սուրբ Հոգիով, արդեն մեր մեջն է Քրիստոսով, արդեն ինքը մեզ մեր մեջ կնքված է, բայց մենք պետք է լեցվինք իր մովազիկա, ինքը գհրամայե։ Հիսուս ճակը որ գհրամայե, որ մենք լեցվինք այս ճշմարտությունով, վստահալանք, որ Սուրբ Հոգին մեր մեջն է, ձարավինք Քրիստոսի համար եւ հնազանդինք, քանի որ լեցվիլ Սուրբ Հոգիով նույնն է լեցվիլ Աստծո խոսքով։ Գլեցվինք, գարցանք, գլեցվինք եւ Սուրբ Հոգին է, որ կկործածի Աստծո խոսքը մեր մեջ կործելու։ Սուրբ Հոգին Աստծո խոսքը չի հեռանար, գսորեցնե եւ գողքնե, որ հասկնանք եւ հնազանդինք եւ ինքը մեզի գնորոքե։ Պետք է ընդունենք ասիգա, պետք է շարունակական գերբով, նորեն եւ նորեն, քանի որ մեր սրդերը թրությամբ կբաղին, այս իրգուն պիտի բաղին, երեք շաբթի կեսրը մեջ պիտի բաղին, նորեն եւ նորեն պետք է լեցվինք Սուրբ Հոգիով, պետք է մենք խոնարինք իրեն, պետք է մենք արդունենք, որ ինքը փոխի եւ առաջնորդի մեր կյանքը, ոչ թե խմածելանք, որ այնը դեն աբուշ պաներ գնենք եւ ժամանակը կգործենցնենք եւ սխալ գերբով կվարվենք, բայց լեցվինք Սուրբ Հոգիով, այնը դեն արթուն պիտելանք, այնը դեն ուրախ պիտելանք, այնը դեն զորավոր պիտելանք, այնը դեն իմացության պիտի գրնանք ապրիլ իրեն համար, խմածելանք եւ կյանքը կգործենցնենք, լեցվինք Սուրբ Հոգիով եւ ավելի Քրիստոսի գնամանինք։ Եվ այս իգա է, որ մեզի կփոխի մեր բաշտամունքը, որպեսի ալավելի ուրախ լանք տերոչմով, որպեսի հասկնանք, թե Քրիստոս ինչ արած է մեզի համար ավիդարանի միջոցով, և շնորհակալ ըրգնանք, երբ կլեցվինք Սուրբ Հոգիով, երբ կընդունինք այս ճշմարտությունները մեր սրտերի մեջ, ուրախ կլանք և շնորհակալ կլանք, և ադիգա մեր հաղորդակցությունը կփոխի։ Ուրեմն, երբ կուքանք կիրագի կամ երբ կուքանք այս չորեքշաբթի, եթե գուզես պատրաստվի չորեքշաբթի իրգվա համար, լեցվիր Սուրբ Հոգիով և ադանք եկուր։ Եվ այն ադեն պիտի քանք եւ պիտի երգենք եւ մեր երգերով իրար պիտի քաջլերենք եւ պիտի օգնենք անոնք, որ մործած են ճշմարություն եւ դգար գսկան։ Եկեք չորեքշաբթի եւ եգող օրերը խոնարհաբար զարայենք իրարու։ Մեր անձին մասին չի մտածենք, բայց քանք պատրաստելանք, մեր սրդերը փանանք եւ տեսնենք, թե Աստված ինչպես կնա կործել մեր մեջ եւ մեր միջոցով իր փառքին համար։